Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Ben Reichley's got the day off, although I am going to see him tomorrow at the Blue Red Better Angels discussion that's taking place at the Mediation Center, where Democrats and staunch Democrats and staunch Republicans are going to sit in a circle and listen. And so should be interesting, but I'll be an observer there, and Ben is going to be an observer, so we'll be sort of blue-red observer. So he's got today off. He's out on business, but my good friend Billy Allred is here. Welcome aboard, sir.
Great to see you.
I really appreciate you. You're a business person out in the world and an elected union township supervisor, and of course a father. Great, great family in Union County, the Allred clan, as they're known. And
how many kids do you need in order to be a clan? I'm not sure these
guys. I don't think you're not up to clan level. You have what, 3 children?
I have,
right?
Four.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you're homeschool and you live in a rural area, and the father shaves his head nearly. So, if anybody grows any significantly long whiskers, I'll tell you what, it's going to get clanage.
Yeah, well, so far I'm clean shaven.
All right, well, so far so good in that regard. Okay, so you're not a clan just yet. But yeah, the family is super, and so we're glad he's on board. Mr. Billy Allred is here. I'm going to do our sponsors here. We got to talk about the Shade Mountain Pharmacy today, so we'll do that. They sponsor our toll-free line. But we have open phones today. We can talk about anything that has popped up at all. Earlier this week, we talked about legalizing marijuana. We have talked about Adam Catlin, the man who works for Walmart, and they're changing their job descriptions. So, two things came up this week that relate to that. One is employing individuals with disabilities was one thing. But the other statement that came from one of our listeners, well, you shouldn't shop at Walmart anyway, period. You know, so all these people that are concerned about Adam should be more concerned about their local area and boycott Walmart all the time. So, well, we can get into that again if we want to. Jussie Smollett, back in the news. Now he's officially charged. So he is an accused felon, has gone from victim of a hate crime to accused felon associated with one. And also, there was word yesterday that the FBI is investigating. He had received a letter threatening him as part of a connected to the hate crime idea. And it appears as though he may have, he's being investigated for possibly authoring that letter himself. So those are some of the topics. We talked about socialism at great length yesterday. Socialism, being a Republican or a Democrat, and I guess we'd add libertarianism. Some people like that particular type, so we can talk about anything folks want. We have emails. The subject lines are domestic terrorism, Trump has divided America, Jesse, meaning Jussie Smollett, and abortion. So we can get to some of those emails, too, as time goes on.
Sounds great.
All right. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. It is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. Our hometown pharmacies offer personalized service on a first-name basis. You will see Terry at Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Tyler at Trutz Pharmacy, Steve at Norrie Pharmacy, Jennifer at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. And these are individuals that you should get to know because they are pulling for your town. Well, how do they do so? Well, they don't go to the big box stores. They don't go to Walmart. Does Walmart have a pharmacy? Well, if then you shouldn't go there. All right. So you should go to the hometown pharmacies. So if you need any other sound advice, ask me, okay? Buy local. Every dollar spent locally gets spent locally 10 times over. Take it to Walmart or CVS and it disappears and you'll never see it again. can. But buy locally, and that dollar just keeps rattling around in your hometown. And half the time it ends up at local charities, churches, fire companies, and other nonprofit organizations. Sometimes it even ends up in the hands of the township supervisors because they have extremely low taxes. But believe it or don't, each year you do have to send them $1, and that could be that dollar. And then you're really going to help your town. So this is an opportunity. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy. They sponsor our toll-free line, which is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. You notice I mentioned that dollar.
I know. I'm over here laughing.
A dollar a year taxes. That's
because
it.
You're the only person I know who's able to do an ad for a hometown pharmacy and segue into taxation at the local level.
Well, and low taxes. Are Union Township's taxes the lowest in Union County?
They are among the lowest. There's, I believe, one municipality with taxes lower than ours, and then we have a rate that's similar to three or four other municipalities.
All right, we're not going to devote a show to this or anything, but compare and contrast. What's the difference between Union Township and
East Buffalo?
Well, East Buffalo, yeah, they're your big brother. They're next door.
Sure. Right. Well, yeah, I mean, they're offering a whole lot of other services that we don't offer as a township, mostly because our residents...
Police?
Yep,
they're
police.
They're funding the fire department?
Well, we fund our fire department. Okay. They fund their fire department. Obviously, you have a different citizen base, so the levels of that are a little different. But, you know, in terms of recreation, we're not involved in recreation in Union Township. Leaf garbage refuse type pickup, we're not involved in that. You know, there's just it's really a different. It's apples and oranges because mm-hmm. of the level of development in East Buffalo and the growth that you see there. We don't have to deal with that. We have a lot less citizens. I think we have a similar road mileage. We may have a little more road mileage, but that's, you know, the health, safety, and welfare of our citizens is paramount. That's what we're focused on, not really managing or governing or telling our citizens what to do. We believe in freedom in Union Township.
Are you dissing other townships?
I just did. I think
so, too.
But it only because I want them to come along, not because I despise or disregard them in any way. I'm out here preaching liberty, property rights, limited government, you know.
Is Union Township having growing pains as more and more people move in, or does this sort of great level of governance sit well with all, you know, the many new residents?
Yeah, I don't think we're having growing pains. I certainly wouldn't regard it as that. I mean, you always have, you know, whenever you value property rights, you're always going to have people who make decisions you wish they weren't making. Properties that maybe aren't kept up as well as you would like your property to be kept up. But on the other hand, you know, what you often see, unfortunately, in township governance is that everyone wants to control their neighbor, but nobody wants their neighbor to control them. So you have to, you know, balance those equities some of the time. And honestly, the other thing is to try to persuade people that there are actually options to government intervention and government force to actually persuade people to change their activities or help them in a situation where, you know, maybe they're not keeping their yard up and the neighbors come together and to say, hey, can we give you a hand with this? Rather than saying, government, can you jump in? Can you fine them? Can you threaten to throw them in jail if they don't comply with these, you know, property maintenance regulations or so on and so forth? So we take a little more even-handed, I think, reasonable approach, and it's worked for us. I don't really think we have growing pains.
You use what my grandmother used to call pie leadership, where this was just about neighbor issues, nothing related to the law. But if your neighbor did something irritating, you would take a pie over and ask them if there's some way they could change that behavior.
Right.
Whatever it was, growing tall grass or, you know, loud kids in the pool at late at night or something. I don't know.
Well, absolutely.
It was. Pie leadership.
I think that kind of thing goes a long way.
That fits Winfield perfectly.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, fantastic. All right, so you just as an individual human think fewer laws are probably better than more laws in general.
Right.
And again, we're not going to talk all day about this. When you hear the state having a discussion about legalized pot, do you ever say, okay, well, maybe the state should have legalized pot? You know, fewer laws is better.
Oh, yeah. I've advocated before on this program that I think that prohibiting marijuana use is like prohibiting alcohol. It's a fallacy. It's not going to be effective. It's led to unintended consequences. It's led to mass incarceration. I don't think we've solved the issue. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday, in fact, and they were saying that they have a relative that had smoked pot for 30 years. And, oh, by the way, I never have.
You?
I've never even touched it, never had it.
Oh, I tried it in college. I enjoyed it.
Well, I have not. But
okay. Anyway,
they were saying this, you know, they've had this friend or relative that smoked pot for 30 years, and their brain is still fried. And I guess the point was, you know, when they started smoking pot, they were of diminished mental capacity is probably putting it not the politically correct way of putting it, but they were making poor choices, poor life choices, poor decisions
already.
In their life already, right? And so this didn't necessarily exacerbate it. It was just, you know, a continuing manifestation of that poor judgment. And we're going to have people in this society who exercise poor judgment, and I don't think local, state, or federal governments can constantly be walking behind them trying to make them into something that they're not.
So the conceptual idea of a soda tax might not sit well with you. I know in Philadelphia, but there is other towns, they impose a tax on sugary drinks and then use that money to fight obesity.
While they skim off the top.
Oh, administrative money.
Right.
Oh, yes,
and
absolutely.
Then they send people across municipal and state lines to buy soda without the tax.
Well, that's an unintended consequence.
Right.
That is happening.
Exactly. There's always unintended consequences. I mean, the legalization of drugs has led to higher prices for drugs, which has led to crime that's associated with drug dealing. Do I think we can unravel it all tomorrow and just with one stroke of the pen legalize all drugs? No, it would have to be just like with alcohol. We've taken a kind of a mitigated approach where we tried something with prohibition. We obviously found out that was a dumb idea, and we've rolled it back. Now, Pennsylvania hasn't rolled it back completely. They still have their fingers in it, and I think financial reasons are the biggest cause of that rather than
regulation.
Right.
Good or sound public policy.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I think with a lot of these government things, you know, even Social Security, I think Social Security was a bad idea from its inception. And it's going to fail. It's more a question of when. But do I think we should stop the checks today? No, I think it needs to be unwound with a series of alternatives that grow increasingly popular over time, and eventually we get ourselves away from this bad decision. And that's the way a lot of things need to happen in government.
Should bad drugs be illegal, like heroin or cocaine that are a little bit more dangerous, opioids?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I brought up when you guys were talking about this a couple weeks ago is that if, you know, one of the conservative or the Republican approach to some of these things is, okay, well, we'll legalize it, but we're going to tax it. You know, we'll create a revenue stream. We'll call them sin taxes, you know, which is what we've done to cigarettes and booze and everything else that we consider vices, the lottery, gambling. But the unintended consequence of that is it's going to actually drive the price of marijuana up. And I think it will, for those, again, those people who are predisposed to want it and are willing to use substances to relieve, you know, the pain in their life, to dim and dull their senses so they're not experiencing that at the same level, it's going to send them more likely to things like heroin and other drugs that would not be, that are more accessible and not taxed.
Well, yeah, heroin's supposedly cheap and accessible now.
Right. And, you know, another thing, kind of a separate issue, is one of the reasons that the opioid crisis has gotten so bad is that in an attempt to stem the tide of prescription painkiller misuse, the drug companies lobbied Congress to pass legislation requiring these synthetic opioids be used, which were 10 times more potent, but much less accessible. By the way, way more expensive. So for those dealing with pain, now they've been driven to that. But that has created even more of a market for heroin and moving people from prescription painkillers to heroin because they couldn't afford these, synthetic opioids that Congress
like
mandated.
Like an OxyContin or fentanyl?
I can't remember the names, but they're fairly sophisticated names. But, you know, the bottom line is, again, it's the same topic. It's unintended consequences. The government tries to stem the tide in one place, to plug the dam, put their finger in, and four holes sprout, you know, bigger than the first.
Our boss here uses the water balloon theory. If you poke on one side of the water balloon, it bulges out on the other side. So the weight of the water never changes in the balloon. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, but I would invite anybody to call in. I have just decided to ask Billy. I always appreciate his common sense viewpoints on freedom and, sort of the governance that we enjoy at the local level and at the state level. So we would invite you to call us. Feel free if you have a question or observation about this probably ducktails pretty evenly with the socialism conversation we had yesterday. We're glad to say that John Shipman was here, and he has concerns about individuals who are Democrats who have certain positions on things, not the least of which is Medicare for All, that he thinks some of these individuals also have voted in manners that are perfectly consistent with a socialist viewpoint, which he doesn't favor that. So we had a good conversation about that. So freedom on your own property, freedom in your life, freedom in our U.S. government, socialism, our topic. So feel free to join us if you have an observation or a question for me or for Billy. 1-800-795-9565. Billy's never done marijuana. I did in college. I enjoyed it, but then I stopped completely, and that was the end of that. So I haven't done it since, but I certainly think people should be able to. So I've always brought it up around here, and I thought I think the state's on the right track when the idea of legalizing it. So that's what we're going to talk about just for now, but we can talk about anything else. And as I mentioned, we do have some emails. So call us now. 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Or text us at 70236.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. We mentioned the word freedom, and that is always a quick prompt to get to people who love freedom to call in. Lance is standing by. We have some other callers waiting, so go right ahead. Lance, you're on the mark.
Okay, it was just, if you run the figures, if we could just get a small percentage of the folks who are drinking alcohol now to decide to use marijuana, how many lives that could be saved? I mean, on college campuses alone now, 1,800 kids died last year because of alcohol.
1,800 on college campuses from alcohol?
4,400 altogether under the age that could drink. I mean, this is true. I mean, this is from med folks.
1,800?
Yes.
That's crazy.
I know it's crazy.
Well, and the only death that was ever related to marijuana was a massive Middlesworth chip overdose reported years ago, and we don't even know if that's real.
Yeah. Oftentimes I said that tragedy there at Penn State, you know, at the pledge, the guy that was doing the pledge and all that, if they would have gone into that frat house, they probably would have said, gee, the light's on and everything's quiet, and they walk in there and upstairs is littered with empty soda bottles and potato chip bags. Down in the cellar, while everybody's passed out with arms around each other, you know, with smiles on their face and a big banner says, "Welcome to the frat, bro." And that would have been
right. Yeah, that's quite a death toll associated with alcohol. Truth be told, I knew kids were getting hurt and didn't realize it was so lethal. But, yeah, that's tough stuff. All right. Well, thank you so much, Lance. Thanks for calling in. Check in later. This freedom conversation has Lance written all over it.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Appreciate that. Eric, next up on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. And thank you to Billy for expressing his views. But I'm going to take an absolute opposite view. First of all, Billy, I am shocked that anyone would say that Social Security was a bad idea. What about protections for our children? This has been my theme calling in many times. We talk about freedoms and so forth, and I appreciate Lance's point of view. Okay, let's get rid of the alcohol, but what did Pennsylvania just do? We've just put alcohol in all of the convenience stores, or most of the convenience stores. Oh, yeah, we have to have little places to eat or whatever. But all of the sheets is I've put in, as I said they would, their soda caves are all turning into beer caves. So there we go. So we have more alcohol available to our youngsters. Now, what are we going to do? What's next? We all going to have little places for them to buy pot now and have a little smoking lounge in each one of these? And what's a tolerable level for, we know what the alcohol is, but what's a tolerable level for someone who's smoking dope? And then go out and drive, okay? And to be a proponent of saying, okay, let's give college students more pot, when we know that marijuana affects the brain as they're developing, I mean, there's a reason that there is this stereotype of a stoner, because we know people who are burnt out in high school and in college because of marijuana, which has addictive properties to it, whether it be
Eric,
psychological or not.
Eric, Billy, defend Billy just for a split second here. He didn't advocate that anybody even allow one molecule of marijuana to go into their system. This is a freedom topic about making certain things illegal. And you can respond.
Yeah, and I just would question what's your solution then? If do we need to put more people in jail and pay their bills while they sit incarcerated, not being not providing anything in society? What is your solution for solving this issue then?
I believe we have to continue to educate. We have to be honest with our kids. We have to be parents talking to their kids. But this laissez-faire attitude, and just because it makes money, what happened from the 70s when I was growing up to now? What's happened is that our morals have gone to the point where we say, okay, anything goes. I mean, it sounds like people are even saying, let heroin and so forth. As I said before, I'm being honest. My brother is still impaired, and he's been impaired his whole life because of starting smoking marijuana, probably in the eighth grade.
So has
and,
that.
And what about that? And then what social helps are we putting in place? We're talking about laissez-faire, cutting taxes. What social supports are we putting in place? You talked about Social Security being a bad idea. What about all these kids who've lost their parents and Social Security has been a way for them to survive and not having to go to orphanages? What about supporting our older folks in their old age? Social Security is a bad idea. I want to hear your response to that, Billy. How is Social Security a bad idea?
Yeah. Well, what I was saying is Social Security as a retirement program, as an idea that
for retirees,
right? For retirees that we're gonna take your money out of your paycheck throughout your life. We're gonna put it in a trust fund that we're gonna bilk money out of, and then we're gonna take care of you in your old age. I do think that it's reasonable to have a safety net for those who are indigent. But that's
okay.
What we have is growing numbers of people who believe they are indigent because we have government, as it almost always does, improperly managing a humongous bureaucratic system.
All right, Eric, thank you so much.
I got to stop you
because Than's waiting. So let me do that,
Thank you, Eric, guys. You
call back. That would be the way to go here. Than, go right ahead. We got a minute.
Okay, I will say this quickly. I agree with, as I have advocated for years, legalization, and I realize there are downsides to that. What I was surprised at, this is a complete change of subject, was the lack of knowledge that your guest host yesterday had about what is socialism. You know, their socialism does range through a large scope of things, but socialism with a democratic and capitalistic background is what people use the world over. And it seems to work pretty well if you're not afraid of it. I just wanted to say, I thought John Shipman was misleading everybody on what he thinks socialism is. Yes, there is a textbook edition of what is socialism, but how it works around the world. We're a socialist country here. We have the costs are paid by everybody. I'll talk to you tomorrow or Monday or something.
All right. Well, we got another hour. We got the 9 a.m. hour, so you're ahead of us. Thank you so much, Than. Appreciate the call. Everybody can call back, Lance and Eric and Than, if you want, if you have additional thoughts. We'll keep this going during the 9 a.m. hour. We invite you to call us. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Sunbury Motor Company is our sponsor. We got a guest co-host today, Billy Allred. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. Across from me, Billy Allred, our guest co-host today. He is a local Republican. We'll say that a resourceful person might find him on a ballot in the months ahead, so keep your eye out for that. He is an elected Union Township Supervisor. He's also one of the conferees for the Republican process that's underway to select the nominee in the 12th District race, right?
That's right.
I worded it right? Okay.
You have.
So, he and 100 some of his closest friends will be gathering next month to figure out who they would offer up for a nomination for U.S. Congress to replace Tom Marino. I think every Republican around here is just super excited about that because there's just so many advantages to getting a different congressman there that they think that's a wonderful thing. So that's we can talk about that as the show progresses, but. Billy is here, and Mr. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer, Matt Catrillo, is over in the newsroom. We have open phones right now. We're talking about things that are illegal and shouldn't be, or government processes or programs that aren't necessarily keeping to their mission and probably should be eliminated. Social Security has been one thing we mentioned. The idea of legalizing marijuana, I always bring this up no matter who sits across from me. So maybe if marijuana becomes legal, I am going to try it again. I just feel compelled that I should, since I bring it up all the time. We'll keep that conversation going. We had John Fetterman on the news line last week. He called us before he launched into the listening tours to talk about what they're doing as the lieutenant governor goes from town to town soliciting opinions. So we'll take more comers and more callers. Feel free to call us. I think less government would be the file that we'll put this show in, not having Social Security or not making pot illegal. I'm not sure that we've determined or came up with any sort of a consensus that harder drugs shouldn't be illegal. And so that's our theme today. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open right now. 1-800-795-9565. That toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewis Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemarket@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We would just love to hear from you today. In the news today, the parents of Adam Catlin will meet with Walmart officials today to discuss their son, who will be let go from the Hummel's Wharf store unless the company relents on new policies. Amber Paramati, sister of Adam, told WKOK Adam is scheduled to work, but a pre-shift meeting is set for today. What the outcome could be, she's not sure. Adam is a 30-year-old man who has cerebral palsy and has worked at Walmart for 10 years as a greeter. He's a beloved acquaintance for the thousands of Valley residents who shop there, and many of whom used social media to express outrage that the store would fire somebody with a disability because their disability prevents them from serving in the new host role that is developed for greeters. National news coverage of the story has included CNN, Associated Press, and CBS News, and after that publicity grew, the company made an accommodating statement saying that there could be some limited discussion about Adam. Since then, on social media, other individuals have come forward and say Adam is just one of several individuals with disabilities who have worked at the Walmart for some time who will be let go under the new policy. There are mixed reactions after an emotional gathering of Valley Catholics in Elysburg yesterday. The topic, the church child sex abuse scandal. Matt Catrillo was there.
About 150 people attended a listening session Thursday evening held by the Diocese of Harrisburg at Queen of the Most Holy Rosary Parish in Elysburg. Those who attended got the chance to hear from and ask questions to Bishop Ronald Gaynor and newly hired Safe Environment Coordinator Janet McNeil. One attendee, Eric Kindler, who is a parishioner at St. Joseph's in Mechanicsburg, still came away very disappointed.
They have a moral authority problem. They have a institutional problem. Bishop Gaynor really can't do anything to assuage the fears and disappointments of especially young people right now who are looking for solid leaders in the church. They are in dire need of true leadership, and they're not going to find it in Bishop Gaynor or anybody similar in his position.
Father John Hoke, pastor of St. Joseph's Parish in Milton, says it's still okay for Catholics like Kindler to heavily criticize the church.
The bishop isn't here to kind of take away the sting or say, oh, I've got a magic bullet here. And we're all still hurting. It's going to be a long process. And that's good that someone would come out and be very honest. If they said, I'm still hurting, I'm not satisfied, we need to keep going.
Diocese spokesman Mike Barley says these listening sessions have affected the bishop's decision-making, especially when creating the diocese's newly launched Survivors Compensation Program.
We've heard from the survivors. They wanted an opportunity to talk to somebody about what happened to them. They're going to have that opportunity to talk to them and talk about their story before they make their decision on what kind of compensation they receive.
Thursday's session was the sixth session held by the diocese. There are three more listening sessions left. They will be held in Chambersburg, York, and the rescheduled session in Berwick will be held March 14th at 6:30 p.m. at Immaculate Conception Parish. Matt Catrillo, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Look for a lot of ads to be on the radio and on TV around here. A major Democratic group yesterday announced plans to spend at least $100 million in battleground states during the 2020 election and hopes of denying President Donald Trump a second term. Surveys conducted by Priorities USA suggest Trump is vulnerable in many of the same states that sealed his victory in 2016, such as Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. The research indicates antipathy toward Hillary Clinton drove some of the party's traditional voters to Trump and third-party candidates like Jill Stein, while others simply didn't turn out. To win 2020, Democrats say they must lure those voters back. And a school principal in Ashburn, Virginia, is apologizing for a lesson that used the Underground Railroad as the basis for a gym class activity. David Stewart is principal of Madison's Trust Elementary in Ashburn, Virginia, and wrote a letter to parents calling the lesson culturally insensitive to our students and families. The Loudoun County Public School spokesman Wade Biard said that the gym class began with a lesson about the Underground Railroad as part of Black History Month. Students in grades 3 through 5 were then split into groups and challenged to overcome physical obstacles. And Biard says the school system received about 10 complaints after their Underground Railroad obstacle phys ed course. I guess some of the students didn't like having to go to the North Star, right? Travel towards the North Star, right?
Yeah, right.
That was the call. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Two of our good listeners are ready to finish their conversations that we curtailed for the CBS News. We'll start out with Than. Than, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling back.
Hey, thank you. Sorry to call back, but I first wanted to say, great to hear your voice, Billy. I'm in the neighboring township, and we really appreciate what you do for us, and I just wanted to say welcome to the program.
Thank you, Than.
I disagree with you a great deal of the time, but I really like where you stand, so it's very soothing. I was saying before, and I just wanted to finish up the thought, I think John Shipman is one of the smartest guys on the block, but I was surprised at the way he talked about socialism. In my estimation, he didn't know what he was talking about, and he was using the fear-mongering that I'm used to listening to from Fox News, where the new green idea that the young lady who was a new congressman proposed. I heard Fox News do the strangest stuff. They're going to kill all the cows. They're going to do terrible things. They're going to make us not drive cars. Somebody didn't realize that what these what's her name? Ocasio Cortez, yeah. Was making suggestions, and right away nobody heard the suggestions. What they said was, this is way too tough. I'll tell you, John Kennedy would have jumped up and said, we don't do it because it's easy, we do it because it's tough. And I think we ought to be looking into how we can equalize our country to the point where everybody has health care, everybody has a chance at an education. And there are so many countries in the world who are very successful, who have a form of socialism, sort of like ours. Ours just doesn't include medicine and college. So I just wanted to point out, I was upset with John for, in my estimation, misstating what socialism is.
What is it? Can you define it?
No, okay. I'm not smart enough. But socialism is, if you read the description in the dictionary, it says kind of what John said, and there's no disagreement there. But the socialism that we practice in this country is a democratic socialism, it's like communism. There's pure socialism and pure democracy. None of those things are what we are talking about. We're talking about kind of a blend of the various systems that almost every top country in the world, financially and with the power of some sort of morality, has a kind of socialism that allows people not to go bankrupt when they have a serious illness and so forth. I just wanted to say, no, I can't define it correctly. What I mm-hmm. can say is look at what other countries do. And I mentioned in an email yesterday that I sent in, I mentioned the fact that don't try to take health care away from Canadians. You know, no matter what you say about it, they are happy with their health care. Obviously, not all the time. Obviously, just like people at a hospital around here. Let's say my favorite hospital in the area, the Geisinger or the Evangelical, there are people who say, I would never go there. My mother died there. Well, that's understandable, but that's not what that's not the whole story. We have good hospitals here. Some people like them, some don't. In Canada, I'm fairly sure it's the same thing. You wait for some things and get immediate service on others. But I just think we ought to be exploring how to expand our ability to take care of our family, friends, neighbors, fellow countrymen, what we call the common good. The oftentimes economists will talk about how this won't work because this is how the economics work. They forget the factor of the common good.
All right.
And I think we have to start thinking common good.
Hold on, Dan.
Great to see you. Or great to hear you.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
Are you going to hang up or listen?
No, I thought I had gone on a little too long.
You did, but I was patient.
Well, please, go ahead. Well,
one of the things you mentioned pretty early on in your nice rant was that
it's a happy rant.
Was basically the idea of equality of outcome, and that's exactly the philosophical construct on where you and I differ, and that I think is the nature of socialism, which I was glad to hear you admit, and that is government is picking winners and losers. The current winners need to lose more. The current losers need to win more. And hopefully, if we give the almighty government the power to pick winners and losers, soon everyone will be a very marginal winner. There will be no losers, and that just doesn't work. It does, and it's the source of all kinds of unintended consequences. As what we see in our government today is government trying to pick winners in business, pick winners in farming, pick winners in banking, pick winners in energy.
What do you mean? What winners are we picking?
By choosing who's going to succeed, through the lobbyist in Congress, choosing what regulation gets passed, who it benefits, what laws are passed and what things are not allowed, You're telling one person they can't do what they want to do. Another person, you must do what we want you to do. We're going to give you money. We're going to take money from this group. It's whether it's liquor, whether it's drugs, whether it's these different segments of our economy. It's government picking winners and losers, trying to guarantee equality of outcome, and it's not working. And who gets hurt in the process? Well, the little guy continues to get hurt. And who got hurt as this was tried by Marx and Lenin and Mao? Who got hurt? Well, millions of people got hurt, got executed, in fact. And so what we're hearing today is, well, it just wasn't tried the right way. We just need to give socialism another try.
Executions are wrong.
Right.
Well, I can't imagine where you're going with this because... never did I advocate communism, which is pretty much what you're talking about, or Marxism, which is what you're talking about. I have a feeling that maybe one of the things we don't do in this country is understand the systems of government. I admit that I don't, but I hear an awful lot of people like you right now kind of implying that we're not smart enough to be able to do this when other countries all over the world have done it successfully.
It's not at all that I don't think we as a people are smart enough. It's that I don't think that government bureaucrats that have been placed in charge over every aspect and segment of our lives are smart enough to manage the size of economy, the variety of society, the various cultures within our American heritage. They're not smart enough to manage all of these factors. And so that's why, although it doesn't always work perfectly, and although sometimes people lose, unfortunately, capitalism is the most fair organization of ideas that allows people to keep their property, control themselves, and be held responsible for their individual actions without the government interfering and trying to pick winners and losers.
How about the fact that the losers are the ones that are poor and the winners are the ones that are rich at this point in our society? And I don't see the two coming together. Am I missing the point there?
But look at world history. When has that been different? When has more government intervention caused that to be reversed? It hasn't. More government intervention means... more power in the hands of people who want to rule us, make decisions in their best interest or in the interest of those who are funneling money to them. It hasn't helped poor people. Our nation's war on poverty hasn't helped poor people. What helps poor people is other people taking a responsibility to love their neighbor as themselves, to reach out, as I have, as others in our community do, and say, here's a person in front of me. I'm going to help that person. I'm not going to depend on the government to take money from Than to give to this person.
All right. Thank you, Than. Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
I don't call it taking money. I call it paying my dues for being in a wonderful nation. And I'm not upset in doing that. And if my money goes to help somebody, I'm all for that.
Right.
So, hey, great talking with you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much, Than, on the news line here. We'll have to bring him back into the studio. I don't know why I didn't do that today. If we had known we were going to talk about these important topics, he would have been a good guest co-host today as well.
We always have a good time.
1-800-795, and I could have taken the day off. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. Stand by, Lance. We will be right back.
Hometown Pharmacies, every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the Hometown Pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Billy Allred is with me. Rob Sanders, our producer. Matt Cotrillo is over in the newsroom. It's an open phones Friday. Call us right now, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
One of the items we didn't have an opportunity to get into in that discussion with Than, it was the unintended consequences. And one of those I wanted to mention earlier of the drug war has been this concept of asset forfeiture. I don't know how many of the listeners noted that the Supreme Court ruled 9-0, unanimous decision by them, that in a case in which they said, you know, asset forfeiture is an overreach by the government. And asset forfeiture is the deal where someone's convicted or accused of a crime, and the assets that they have that are related to that crime, for instance, if they have money in their car when they're pulled over or their car itself, are forfeited, and then those assets themselves have to be proven innocent of the crime. They're not innocent until proven guilty. They're guilty until proven innocent. So you have to prove, for instance, if you had cash, that you gained that cash through legitimate means. If you have a car, you have to prove that you bought that car with money that was acquired through legitimate means. And it is a constitutional overreach. But again, it's one of these unintended consequences of the government trying to be heavy-handed in terms of what we put into our bodies with drugs. And it's resulted in hurting who? It's hurting the little guy. It's hurting people who, for instance, a mother in Philadelphia whose son borrowed her car, got pulled over for marijuana, and her car was forfeited. And she had to go to court and spend thousands of dollars to try to get the government to give her car back. And so I was really pleased that the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that this is an overreach, and I hope it results in municipalities, counties, states, the feds, retracing some of their steps on using this asset forfeiture laws to pad their budgets.
Well, and I think we got to give credit where it is due. A lot of times it's not the individual police officers, but it's the prosecutors, the county prosecutors, or
they're just implementing the grand jurors, the policy.
The local police are not innocent, but they certainly aren't responsible for this. So if we say police overreach, what we mean is the overreach, the law that allows you to just forfeit asset or seize
right.
anything of value that the individual, like the drug suspect, has, or that somebody associated with a drug suspect has, and say, okay, well, this was here at the time, so this must be. Yeah, we have. There's case after case after case of people moving from town to town who don't use, you know, have shot their credit. They don't have credit cards, so they move from town to town with cash, and they may have done a minor violation of the law or maybe even a major violation, but that's what, all their cash gets seized because it's perceived that that's related to the crime, that the small crime that they actually committed.
Right, and even now we have a lot of federal regulations in banking that don't allow you to do cash deposits or cash withdrawals above certain amounts without filling out all kinds of paperwork. So our freedoms have been limited in that way. Why? Well, it's a consequence of the drug war and of the government trying to make sure that everyone, no matter what, is paying every dime they can possibly get out of them in taxes.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our open line. We got two callers waiting. Lance, you get a minute on the radio. Please go right ahead.
Oh, wow. Well, anyway, what we find out is with marijuana is that they have fewer fatal auto accidents and a lot more fender benders.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Almost all the way through, you know, with all the states that have legalized it. And it's really has saved a lot of lives already. When we think about socialism, it really is that great fictitious entity by which everyone seeks to live at the expense of everybody else. And you need a lot of somebody else's money to make it work. Take, for instance, now Sweden is not a socialist country. It is a capitalist country with a huge safety net. And to fund it, they need a tremendous amount of exports. In other words, 27% of their GDP is export. So therefore, in order to finance things, they need from other people. If we take a look at Norway, that is really crazy for exports. That's like 45%. That's because, of course, their oil exports. But still, those are two really good examples of it. And if you look at all of them, look at a GDP pie graph, and what you're going to see is things like hospitality, for instance. If there hadn't have been for those rich capitalists that come there to gawk at what they used to be, why, they wouldn't have anything.
All right. Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call. We have an open line now, 1-800-795-9565. Joseph, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'd like to comment a little bit on the taking from the rich and giving to the poor. That sounds like a good concept, and, you know, I think that's what Ocasio wants to do and these other ones. But I look at it this way. I worked from a child. I can remember when I was about 5, 6 years old or 7, I would go out with a shovel in the wintertime and shovel sidewalks for a quarter or 50 cents back in the 50s. And I had a wagon. I'd go sell pumpkins in the fall and gather up newspapers and sell them. When I became a young man, got married, I worked two jobs. I raised a family. I had two adopted children, one foster child, and a couple of my own. And I raised a family. It was really tough. But I had to have two jobs to make it go, you know what I mean, to get ahead. And finally, I did get ahead, and I bought properties and so forth. And now I can live comfortable. You know, I have a good income, and I have money in the bank and invested. And why should I be taxed more, or even a guy that's a millionaire? I'm not a millionaire, but a guy that makes millions or billions of dollars, and he works and he puts his life on the line and he takes risk where you could lose a lot. You know, you have to, you know, and yet they want to tax him more. I don't think that is not fair. Even our Heavenly Father, Almighty Yahweh, he only says 10%. That's equal for the millionaire as it is for the guy that only makes $10 or $1 an hour. You know what I mean? 10% is 10% across the board. And, well, that's the way I look at it. I sold a property here not too long ago. I have properties, rental properties. And when I filled out my income tax, I had to pay back, you take off depreciation. I had to pay that PAC to the government, and the government made about as much money off of that property as I did. And I'm the one that took the risk. I'm the one that worked to fix it up. And you know what I'm saying? And they took that money, and who knows what they do with it.
Well, that's unfair taxation if there ever was any.
Absolutely, without representation.
Right.
That, here's what I want to comment on. I say all that, kind of say this. That man is not, I don't care if it's a democratic republic or a socialist government or a communist government, whatever it is, when man gets his hands on it, it is corrupt, because man is corrupted from the beginning. In the beginning, Yahweh didn't want them to have the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't want them to have to rule in that way. He wanted to be sovereign over them. And of course, we know the story of Adam and Eve, and it all began there. But what he's trying to show us is he's going to send his son back, Yeshua the Messiah, and set up a kingdom here on this earth where he's going to be sovereign, and you will obey those laws then that he sets up, or it'll be swift punishment. You can read that in Revelations, and well, Isaiah talked about it, and all the prophets, you know. And so that's what's very close to come. And he's showing man that your government, you just can't make it. I don't care how benevolent, how good they may think and seemingly be, they're just corrupt, as we see in our own government here.
That's the real basis for limited government and personal responsibility, because you recognize that, yes, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So you give men as little power as possible. You create as few levels of government as possible, at as few bureaucracies as possible, to execute justice, to keep people from defrauding and hurting one another. But in terms of managing economy and taking from one and giving to another, picking winners and losers, all those processes are going to do is accentuate the corruption of man.
And there was a form of communism in the scriptures. In the book of Acts, you read that the apostles, they prayed and the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Spirit, and they decided to sell the things that they had and put it in a common pot.
Right.
Delivered to everyone equally, you know what I mean?
And it was voluntary.
Two people, Ananias and Sapphira, right there in the beginning, started to lie. Satan filled their heart, and they lied, and they said they sold a property for so much, and they wanted to keep part of the money for themselves and act like they put it all in the pot. And, of course, they dropped over dead. Yahweh killed him right there on the spot, you know. And but it's showing you, even the best abilities of men to try and do something good, it gets corrupted real quick. And that's why, you know, I'm not looking to this government for anything. I'm looking for his son to come back, Yeshua the Messiah,
right,
to set up a kingdom where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, it says, that he won't be able to deceive men and anymore, or make war anymore. There'll be no more war in the millennial, or what they call the millennial reign of Messiah, because we won't have need for military whatsoever anymore.
Wow. We'll save a ton of money on that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Joseph.
You won't need locks on your doors or whatever, because it'll be a dictatorship from the top down with him in charge, you know?
All right.
And in fact...
I have to move on to the next event here, though.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Joseph. Appreciate the call.
It's interesting, you know, in that passage he was referencing in Acts, it was in all... most senses communistic, but it was voluntarily. Mm. Look, if you want to, within your church, your group, your community, if you want to set up something where you voluntarily commit to pool your resources and help the poor and those that have, give to those that have not, that's all great. But when government comes with a gun
and charges an administration fee.
Right. You will do it, and we're going to take our cut off the top. Well, that's something entirely different.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here. I want to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company, our sponsor today. I saw my first brand new Ford Ranger out there. That's the old truck I used to drive, and of course, I need a new one. So On the Mark is brought to you by the company that's going to bring you a new Ford Ranger. They got the, it's not this year. What is this year? 2019. see. It's a 2020 model Ford Ranger, and it looks super duper, and it is finally here. It gets good gasoline mileage, a little bit pricier than some of the previous ones, but still in the affordable range and less than an F-150. So for a lot of pickup truck drivers, it's going to be the cat's meow. They invite you to check that out, plus all the other brand new Ford cars and trucks, Hyundai, sedans, and sporty vehicles, minivans, you name it. The Kia minivan, the Sedona, you name it, and the new Telluride is going to be out before too long. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of nice vehicles. And of course, then there's the Lincoln. So one of these days, Billy, who's the CEO of his company, is going to be probably cruising in a Lincoln. You just never know. I see that in his bright future. And these are the kind of vehicles they got at the Sunbury Motor Company. They fit your needs. It's a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln headquarters that you're going to, or the new Ford Ranger. Pretty soon the new Ford Bronco is going to be coming out, and they're going to get rid of a couple of models, but they're going to emphasize the E-Class. Those are the ones, the Explorers and Expeditions, Excursions, and one other one, the Escort. And these are four-wheel drive in four different sizes that meet four different family size needs or your needs. They take good care of you, the Sunbury Motor Company.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. The email address is onthemark@wkok.com, and one of our good listeners used it and said, "On the Mark, I spent a ton of time on the Jussie Smollett case." Let me just say as an aside here, that's not true. I mentioned it at the beginning of every show. Very few, no one called about it, and one or two people emailed about it, and then it was probably a 10 or a 5-minute segment a couple of times this week. But in any event, we haven't spent a ton of time on it. The national news media has, but not us. Anyway, so continuing with the letter, it says, it is not covering the case. We are not covering the case of the Coast Guard lieutenant who is a domestic terrorist and a Trump radical. He is locked up. He was caught with a very large cache of assault weapons and ammo. His planned targets were members of the mainstream media, as well as Democratic congressional members who oppose Trump. Not a peep from Mr. Trump on this, or the Republican Party, or the On the Mark Old Boys Club. This is a much more serious topic than Jussie Smollett. Silence is not golden. The Old Boys Club does include all callers with frequent caller miles, but from them, crickets. On another related topic, Roger Stone, another Trump loyalist who is indicted in the Trump scandal, was hauled into court yesterday for posting a picture of his judge with crosshairs on the picture. Again, more crickets. Yeah, we did talk about Mr. Stone, sort of the irony of getting in more trouble, but he's kind of a loose cannon. He's got a mind of his own, so I admire him for that.
You know, on another topic, literally 5 minutes ago, I said to myself and was about to say on the air, I wonder when Chris from Milton is going to call. I bet he calls in the next 30 seconds. How are you, Chris?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I think Billy has kind of a naive, innocent faith in capitalism.
Okay.
That somehow all the sins of capitalism will somehow work itself out into something that's less sinful than any alternative organization or any controls over it.
Yeah, I think that's actually fairly accurate.
Yeah, I think it is too.
I don't think the part about it being naive is accurate, but I think the part about the fact that I think it's the better it's the better system, and that it's voluntary, it exerts control, it holds people responsible for their own actions, and doesn't deprive them of the wealth that they've worked hard for.
It doesn't hold people responsible. If you own a mountaintop, you can rip it off, take the coal, and leave it that way, can't you? If you...
Not according to DEP.
Yes, but according to capitalism, you could, without any of the EPA rules. Exactly. That's what I'm getting at. And why did those EPA rules come to exist? Because of tragedies that were caused in the past. And you sort of just overlook that. Like, how are you going to stop people from cutting down all the trees and having the erosion that we had here?
Well,
how are you going to prevent things like that? How are you going to get seatbelts in cars? Because it's freedom not to be able to build cars without seatbelts.
I think the consumer is king.
It's all terribly naive. Oh, I believe in that capitalist system. It's nonsense. You have to have a lot of controls.
Well,
and who's going to control individual power if you don't have a government doing it?
They will. They are the power. They're the power that has all the control and all the and the biggest guns, right? So. There's
well,
no question. They're,
who do you want to have the biggest guns? A private company?
Who do you want to have the most influence?
A private company?
That's what I want, Chris. I want individual freedom. We were granted it by God.
Is that private
we have
company?
It as our natural right. We have a right to have the fruit of our labors, to purchase property and do with it
as
we see fit without hurting our neighbor and we have to be held account not to hurt our neighbor and not to perpetrate fraud. And
you can hurt
corporations
your neighbor in all sorts of ways that aren't illegal.
When corporations do that.
Hold on, Chris. Go ahead.
When corporations hurt their neighbors or their customers, they have to be held to account. But that
how?
Doesn't. What do you mean how?
What they did is legal.
Give me an example.
You don't. Okay. Well, I own this whole mountain. I'm cutting the top off. The water systems will all change downstream, but that's not my concern.
Yeah, so everyone downstream has been harmed, and therefore...
How do you define harm? What's harm?
If the water system has been polluted, as you just said, then they've been harmed.
Yeah.
Right, so... So that can be a valid role of government.
All right, 30 seconds, Chris. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, there's no basis for laws to define that harm.
Well, sure there is. We do it already.
If you cut down every tree, the soil goes and messes up the river. But how do you
harm? And you've ruined the land. And who does that? Who decides
it's your
to
land.
Voluntarily?
It's your land.
Well, of course it is. But who wants to voluntarily ruin their own land for perpetuity?
For a quick profit, a lot of people. That's
yeah,
the
a lot
whole
of people.
Point. Capitalism is run on quick profit, not long-term planning. Slow profit.
Oh, we got you. All right. Thank you so much, Chris. Really appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in. David, stand by. We got to take a quick break on the topic of domestic terrorism. One of our listeners says President Trump rarely mentions domestic terrorists who did nothing and hurt no one, says Mike. And on the topic of Chris, one of our good listeners says Chris has a naive faith that the people in government will be benevolent to the people. The people should have the biggest guns, not the government. All right. We'll take a quick break. We will be right back. I got words about the hometown pharmacies, and we're going to return shortly.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC Way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. David, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in. We'll give you a minute or two. Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I decry violence or threats of violence against any political party, whether it's liberal or conservative. This person is off their meds or off their mind, however you want, out of their mind, however you want to say it, you know, by putting out his manifesto of what he was going to do and who he was going to do it to. But it also goes against the liberals. You know, Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters calling for physical violence against Trump supporters, you have to hold them accountable. Major Nadal Hassan actually shot up a military base. It took years to get him to trial. You know, I hold all these people who need to be held accountable, especially people in the military who have access to systems and weapons and everything else. Now, everything he had personally purchased, so it doesn't appear to be anything missing from any of the armories or anything that he had. However, he should be tried under Uniform Code of Military Justice, and he should go to Leavenworth. And his period of incarceration will probably be a period of 10 to 20 years, forfeiture of all benefits and responsibilities and pensions and everything else. He's going to be held accountable. But everybody needs to be held accountable from both sides. You know, violence and acts of violence are not the answer. The vote, the power of the vote is the answer, and the power of the legal vote.
Yeah, and I think people who called for violence, sort of political violence, have been called out. And, of course, a lot of it gets videotaped, so it has been a brought-up topic. All right. Well, thank you, David. Thanks for the viewpoint. Really appreciate it. You're a conferee. You're going to help select our nominee on the Republican side in the 12th District.
That's right. Yeah, it's there are a couple hundred of us that are meeting, not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday, March 2nd. There will be several rounds of voting. You know, it's been really easy for candidates to get into this process because all they had to do was say, I'm interested.
Okay, no petitions, no other work.
Exactly. You know, they were asked to fill out questionnaires, and most of them have done that, but we were up to as many as 34 candidates.
Okay.
Yeah, now we're down to 19. Several have gotten out. And, you know, there's some front runners. Fred Keller is certainly, I think, in the top two or three in terms of popularity across the district, and in terms of local popularity, you know, he's very, very popular. So I assume that many of the conferees in our region will be supporting him. I've been encouraged because some of these folks who are the lesser known folks, while I don't believe they really have much of a chance at securing enough votes to receive the nomination, they're bringing up important issues like school choice, like the debt, government spending, things that seem to have been lost, you know, when we had Trump as president and a Republican Congress, Republican Senate. You know, some of these issues stopped being talked about. So I think it's great that we have people who are reentering the political process and bringing these issues up, talking about them. They're important things, and I think, you know, it's good for our district to see a change. Frankly, I'm looking forward to a change from Marino because I don't think he was very responsive to constituents. I don't think he was real conservative, and I think the crop of folks who've put their name in the hat for this role are going to be a stark contrast with that. And I think we got a great opportunity to get a great congressman or congresswoman going forward.
Well, and I agree. I wasn't a big fan of Tom Marino, but I know some of the candidates. I met Jeff Wieland up in Lycoming County, superior leader, good representative. He's a decent person.
Yep.
And, of course, we know Fred Keller around here. If I was a conferee, I'd just keep voting for him. Even if he got bonked out, I'd just keep voting for him. But anyway.
Write him in.
And you do what, like these ecumenical votes where you have to have, what, three-quarters majority to be declared
I mean,
a winner?
The goal of the process when you get done is to have the entire conferee list supporting the person who's left to last and who's declared the winner, because you definitely, with a short amount of time between the March 2nd conferee process and the May 21st primary, you really need to get behind that candidate and support them, and because they're really going to have to hit the ground running, you know, to beat Mark Friedenberg on May 21st.
Well, and they're going to have to be vocal in Washington if they want things like debt to be brought up again.
Right.
Or, well, why? I mean, who knows how many things? There's probably 20 big issues that the federal government could be dealing with, but they only really ever argue about two, one of which is the this. We're talking about it now, the wall and all that. There's
right.
so much more going on
yes.
other than that.
Yeah.
You know, you almost...
We got to get past the platitudes and get into some real issues that need to be brought to the forefront again.
I think I said on the air one time, give them the darn wall so we can move on, for heaven's sakes. All right. Thank you so much.
Hey, great to see you.
Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Billy Allred here. This is WDKOK Sun Mary.